Well, Rob, the saga of the stairs continues.
Oh, the city crackdown and one man against the forces of oppression. It's like a Rush album. Tell me more.
Well, apparently they don't think the repairs I did are proper and fined me and sent me a letter saying that if I objected, I had to send them a letter and request an audience with Town Hall. So first of all, this is probably the first time I've needed to use the business letter template in word processing software since like WordPerfect 5.1. I've written letters of resignation that might as well have been on Post-its compared to this. And I don't know, I really don't know if I'm using the right language. It's all like, it's all fake Law and Order stuff.
Sure, it's like pursuant to the 8th notice of December 13th, I fixed the stairs, sir.
Yeah, totally like that. I'm not sure that I've ever written the words I submit. Probably said them a few times, but never written them.
It's time. Time for a thrilling story of romance, adventure, mystery, anything with an expired copyright. It's time for another Interrupted Tale.
Hello, and welcome to the show that usually ends. Another episode of Interrupted Tales, the podcast where my friend and I take turns reading stories to you, the listener, while the other person constantly interrupts. As always, I am Rob, and I'm joined tonight by my good friend and co-host, Alan. Alan, say hello to the nice people.
Hello, nice to see you here in audio format.
That's right. This week, Alan, not only do we have our typical stories of stair repair and fruits,
Yeah.
we have a fantastical little fable from 1921. It's called The Necklace of Pearls, as retold by Elsie Spencer Ells, and is from the collection The Islands of Magic: Legends, Folks, and Fairy Tales from the Azores.
I believe that's Azores. You put the
Azores.
You put
Where are
the emphasis on the Zores.
and where is the Azores?
It's off the coast of Spain to the
Yeah,
left.
exactly. And now to the
That's the nautical term.
left. And now it's
Oh,
time
I'm sorry, to larboard.
to Ahoy! And now it's time to curl up in your favorite chair and grab a drink while we read you this week's tale. The Necklace of Pearls, the story of a water nymph and an island lad. In a tiny cottage on the steepy, rocky hillside of one of those islands of the Azores, there lived a poor woman and her only son, whose name was Francisco.
The original Cisco kid. Or the original Cisco, maybe.
But not the Twinkie Kid or the guy who wrote the thong song.
That's
Okay.
right.
Every day, the boy went fishing in his little boat, and every night he brought home fish for his mother to cook for their evening meal and to carry into the market to sell.
We'll keep the best parts for ourselves, mother. The juicy eyeballs.
It's the juiciest part.
It's obviously the best part. That's why you never get it in America.
Now, the eyeballs are really the flank steak of the fish.
Yeah.
In this way, they lived very comfortably, and they loved each other so dearly that they were as happy can be. Francisco, with his fair skin, blue eyes, and thatch of curly golden hair, was the handsomest boy in the whole parish. And by the time he was 16 years old, there was many a rich man's daughter who had smiled upon him.
And many a rich man who said his daughter couldn't date until after college abroad, at which point she would have hopefully forgotten all about him. Or, you know, maybe the rich man wouldn't let his daughter go to a camp in the Catskills next summer.
Nobody puts La Nina in the corner.
Nice.
However, the lad thought only of his fishing boat and his mother and did not notice the smiles. One night, the moon was so bright that Francisco could not sleep.
Pretty sure they call that dawn.
No, it's the moon. That bright, shiny moon that glows all day.
Here. It's the moon, honey.
It's a simple island. He cares only for his mother and his boat, Alan. He awakened his mother, who was dozing comfortably in her bed. "I'm going fishing, mother dear," he said as he kissed her. "The moonlight is calling me."
Mom. Me and the moonlight are going to hang out with some friends, but no, don't worry. The moonlight is really responsible.
And don't worry, I'll just stay at the moonlight's house if it gets too late, all right?
Right. The moonlight already has his learners. And, you know, he only uses it to go back and forth to his part-time job at the library.
So he moonlights at the library.
End this quickly.
His mother started up from her bed in terror and amazement. "Why, my boy, do you do such a thing as this?" she asked. "You have never been fishing in the night before. Some evil will surely befall you."
"There are so many dangers, like closed liquor stores and underexposed photographs."
"Squid. I don't know. Night stuff."
"Night stuff."
"Don't worry about me, dear mother," replied Francisco, laughing at her fears. "I know how to take care of myself. It is as light as day. Think how many fish I'll bring back for you to sell in the market tomorrow."
"All right, but only because I'm greedy."
His mother shook her head anxiously. But with another loving kiss, the lad ran out into the bright moonlight. He quickly launched his little fishing boat and soon was floating smoothly along on the peaceful waters of the bay, which gleamed like a silver pathway into the moonlight. The soft air, the gentle rocking of the little boat, and the face of the moon upon his blue eyes were fixed, combined to send sleep to his eyelids.
Yeah, he's fishing all right. And just crack open a couple Molson Lights and see what's biting.
Good old-fashioned fishing. Soon, he was nodding in the little boat. A few moments later, and he was fast asleep. The moon's rays upon his curls made them shine as if they were indeed made of gold.
"Well, actually, I dry shampoo but only wet wash once a week, and it builds luster, but there's a regimen."
"And when it's damp, do 2 sprays of the Farrah Fawcett hairspray."
"Just 2 spritz."
"Just okay? 2 spritz."
"Spritz, not sprays."
Now, the village maidens were not the only ones who had noticed Francisco's blue eyes and handsome face. A water nymph who dwelt in the depths of the sea had often observed him.
"Oh, he's dreamy. He's so different from the other guys I know. Mostly that he's so dry."
It's all opposite down there, you know?
Yeah.
In the daytime, she was invisible to the eyes of humans, and so the lad had never seen her, though she had often spent long hours near him, never taking her eyes from his face. "Oh, here comes the beautiful youth in his little fishing boat," cried the nymph as she saw the moonlight gleaming upon his bright curls. "At last my wish has come true. Now at night he'll be able to see me." She hastily arranged her own beautiful hair before a little mirror she carried.
"Okay, better with the seaweed or without?"
"What if I just put this crab on my shoulder? Does that bring the color of my eyes out?"
"It pops."
Some of the strands of priceless pearls which decked her lovely head were a trifle awry. These, and the necklaces of rare pearls which hung about her fair throat, surrounded her with a gleam of soft light. almost like the light of the moon.
Or like Joan Collins on Star Trek.
More gel. Can't have enough gel.
It's all KY. Smothered on the screen.
Sorry. As she approached nearer to the little boat, she saw that Francisco was fast asleep. She swam in the direction of the lad with all possible speed, a wild terror in her eyes. "What madness is this?" she asked as she looked down upon his bowed head. "This frail boat will drift upon the dangerous rocks and be dashed to pieces."
"This frail boat won't cross no ocean. This frail boat won't get him there soon."
I'll take him home to my own palace without awakening him. Perhaps when he sees how lovely it is, he'll even like me a little bit."
"Well, he'll probably be a little loopy from the lack of oxygen, so he'll be pretty easy to convince until he dies."
"Maybe he's adaptable. You know."
"Right.
We'll see."
"We'll see."
Just for a moment she hesitated, thinking how far from home Francisco would be in the palace of Mother of Pearl in the depths of the sea. "The rocks are really very dangerous," she said to herself as she gently drew his sleeping form into her arms. The next morning, Francisco's empty fishing boat was found by the fisherman. For hours, his mother had watched in vain for his return.
That's the first of the three stages of grief watching. First, you watch in vain, then you watch in earnest, then you watch in CIS, because it's always playing, even in the Azores.
When at last she heard that the empty boat had been found, she was nearly wild with grief. "He was the best son a mother ever had," she moaned over and over again. "How can I live without him?"
"I mean, really, how can I live? I'm on a 100% fish diet, and the fish store just closed up shop."
"Where is she going to get her fish oil pills and her..."
"Oh, my God. She's nothing. She's like 83% omega fatty acids."
Indeed. As the days and weeks went by, it was increasingly difficult for the poor woman to live. She not only missed her boy's loving smile, but she also missed the fish he caught so skillfully.
"Yes, and please don't make me choose between the smile and the fish. A mother wouldn't do that, but just somebody get me some goddamn fish, okay?"
"You can't live on smiles, Alan. Can't live on smiles." There was little for the poor woman to eat if she had any appetite for food. "Why don't you go to the wise man of the sea and tell him your troubles?" asked one of the neighbors. Francisco's mother knew it was a long and difficult journey to reach the wise man of the sea.
"And there's no place to park either."
It's all garages that are full and meters. Ugh.
Well, it's the sea, Rob, so. Right?
I get it now.
Okay.
She decided, however, it would be worth the effort just to gaze into his wise eyes. He knew so much. Perhaps he would know how to say something to comfort her in her great sorrow and loneliness.
Well, you look like you've lost weight. You say that's the starving, huh?
It looks good on you.
Yeah.
She had shrugged her shoulders when her neighbor had spoken of it, but she could not get the idea out of her mind. She knew that she would never rest in peace until she had made this journey. Accordingly, she launched Francisco's fishing boat and, thanks to smooth seas, reached the little rocky island in the midst of the sea, where the wise man of the sea lived. His tall form was outlined above the cliff, even as she tied her little boat. He was very tall, far taller than anybody she had ever seen.
Like if Manute Bol was standing on George Mirazon's shoulders. Man, you would see some basketball if that happened, man.
Be good times.
They'd be just like dropping it in like pebbles into this.
Literally just bending over, dropping it in.
Oh, yeah. Great. Well, I guess they would have back problems.
Oh, yeah, true. And his snow-white beard fell to his feet.
Huh. The drapes are the carpet.
Oh, mercy. He was clothed in fish scales, which gleamed in the sunlight.
And he smelled just...
Oof. Well, little mother, what can I do for you today? He asked as she came up the path to the summit of the rock. The eyes of the wise man of the sea were very kind, as well as full of great wisdom.
And he was really approachable, happy to take a selfie with me. You know, just good people.
Yeah, no airs about him. You know, just very approachable. Francisco's mother forgot to be afraid of him, as she had expected to be.
Well, the smells. Those are the airs about him.
Oh, that would make sense, yeah.
Yeah.
Francisco's mother forgot to be afraid of him, as she had expected to be. She told him the story of her lost son. The wise man listened carefully to her words, and then he said, "Good mother, I am glad to tell you that I know where your Francisco is."
"You just gotta narrow down for me which Francisco we're talking about, okay? There's the one that owns the laundromat, there's the one that collects Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh, but not Digimon cards, because that's for babies. There's the one who's incredibly handsome and loves to eat fish eyes and has golden hair that all the girls love. That's the one? Oh, yeah, Fish Eye Francisco, we call him. Yeah, I totally know where he is."
"He is in the power of a water nymph who has carried him away to her castle of Mother of Pearl in the depths of the sea."
"Oh, it's just gorgeous down there. He gets to run around and play all day and all the dingle hoppers he could ask for."
"Runs around on those, what do you call them? Oh, yeah. Tentacles." Francisco's mother felt the tears of joy well up in her eyes. "Is my boy happy, and is he well?" she asked eagerly.
"He is entirely well and happy."
Oh, yeah. When I say in the power of, that's a really good thing.
"He's not blue or hanging upside down or anything. Don't worry. It's cool."
The water nymph gave him a filter, which has made him forget his past life entirely. "I'm glad you told me that," said the boy's mother. "I was just wondering how my dear lad could be happy while he was causing me so much sorrow."
"Oh, okay, here we go again with the guilt trip. I told you, mother, she is not a water nymph. She's a competitive swimmer, and we only moved to Jacksonville. It's like 40 minutes away."
Jacksonville. Hey, Jacksonville.
Hey, Jacksonville, how you doing? Welcome to the podcast.
You hear it's pretty fishy there, huh? Yeah? No?
You guys are right next to the Azores, right?
Right? Somewhere, something like that. Geography, not our strong point.
"He has always been the best and kindest son with which a mother ever was blessed."
The wise man of the sea started to say something, but the woman interrupted as a new thought flew into her mind.
"Tell me," she cried, "is there no way of getting him back?"
"I mean, he's been out there for weeks. His skin must be all pruned. She doesn't take care of him, you know."
"With all your wisdom, can't you think of some way to make him once more remember the mother who loves him and a little home in which we have passed so many happy days together?"
And that's the story of how Mr. Wiseman Hallmark invented Mother's Day.
"Do you not know some means of breaking the power which this water nymph has over him?"
The wise man looked out across the sea in silence for at least a minute and a half. He thought hard.
"Oh, you know, my brother, the wise guy of the sea, never has to put up with this. Hey, wise man, this lady got a problem? You know what I tell her? Go fish." "Nah, you go back to your rock. I'm going drinking with the Atlanteans."
Oh, they know how to potty. Yeah.
Oh, God, they... fun dudes.
Oh, they get a bunch of big mouth bass together. Okay. They put a fish fry on. Nothing but fish and beer all night. Oh, whole weekends. It's great.
Fantastic.
Francisco's mother watched him with eager eyes. She could hardly wait for his answer. At last, these were the words which fell from his lips.
"You have shed many tears, good woman. But tears are still to flow if you are to bring back your son."
"Oh, must I suffer more?" cried the heartbroken mother. "It seems that I have already lived a lifetime since my dear lad kissed me in the moonlight. I have endured all that I can bear."
"Pain. Sorrow. The abstract concept of fishlessness."
I think Aristotle wrote about that.
The wise man smiled gently as he raised his hand.
"Listen, my child," he said. "Your tears must be shed upon the bosom of the waters."
"No kidding. Water has a bosom? No wonder why 13-year-old boys take such long showers."
That is why, sure.
Okay. Makes sense.
It makes sense, totally. "If, perchance, one of them should fall upon your son's heart, there in the palace of the water nymph in the depths of the sea, the power of her filter will be broken."
"I'll shed whole oceans of tears if I can break the power of that water nymph and bring back my Francisco," said his mother. "The fact is that she began to shed tears then and there, even before she had thanked the wise man of the sea for what he had told her."
Hey, not on the beard. Bosom, I said, bosom.
"Now it happened that Francisco had grown to love the beautiful palace of Mother of Pearl in the depths of the sea."
It's taken me some time, but I've sort of grown comfortable in my skin with the idea of moving into a slightly bigger place than my fish shack.
Plus, with the hot water nymph instead of my mom, they're pros. That's all I'm saying. He never tired of all its beauty. About the palace, there were lovely gardens filled with flowers made of precious gems. Each tiny bud of that garden was worth a king's ransom, so rich were the jewels which composed it. The water nymph often carried her arms full of these rare blossoms and wove them into a garland to crown Francisco's golden curls.
Oh, that's gorgeous. It kind of digs into the scalp a bit. Do you have any flowers that are not like wearing very sharp Legos?
No. He never had a thought of the old life at home with his mother. So completely had the nymph's filter done its work.
Well, you know, he's 16. I'm sure her filter is just about the only thing he's thinking of right now.
That was just profane, my smirk. There was always a big fish swimming about the palace. On its back, there was a cushion of sea green satin, embroidered with lovely pearls. "This is your riding horse," said the water nymph to Francisco the first day he had seen it.
"His name is Clamawar, and he loves it if you feed him algae and brush the fin rod off his gills."
Sorry. Clamawar got me. would have gone with sea biscuit.
Yeah, sure.
Down there they'd call it land biscuit.
Yeah, that was where I was going to go with it, but...
You went for the good joke instead?
Oh, no, I wouldn't say that, Rob. I just would say that I have more respect for our audience than some of the other people on this podcast.
These losers? They're listening to this. What could they be doing with their life? I mean, I love our audience. Love you guys. Love it. Okay. Please rate and review us on iTunes.
Okay, right. Don't pull that shit on them.
Good people. "If you should ever get tired of the palace and find the life here a bit monotonous, just mount this horse and ride about for a little."
"Bass rides! Bass rides! Who wants a bass ride? You, sir! You look like the type who wants a slimy fish to wriggle under his thighs for a bit."
Sounds like something you could sell rides for in Seattle. Just a big bucking bass.
The bass bucks, huh?
Bass bucks, baby. The water nymph had shaken out her long, fair tresses so that they covered as much as possible of the fishtails she had instead of feet.
They call those fankles. Don't laugh.
No. She's a lovely lass. Lovely, lovely lass. Fankles and all. She was very sensitive about the fact that she had no feet upon which to wear pretty little slippers like those of the maidens she had seen so often as they called out gay greetings to the handsome fisher lad.
"Yes, they call them Balenciagas, and they're so, so ugly that I have to have some."
"Yeah, it's true." Francisco had smiled into her eyes. "How absurd," he cried, "to think of such a thing as getting tired of this wonderful place."
"I mean, honey, I got the fish garden, I've got the fish horse, and then... hey, how about that water?"
You know what could use? And I'm not complaining at all, okay?
Of course.
Some oxygen. It's all. I'm just saying a little bit of oxygen would be nice.
Now, okay? I've told you, honey, we have lots of oxygen. It's bonded to the H2. If you would just get off your ass and break it down.
Sometimes I just want to tear this filter off and head right back to my mom.
She ran off with another fisher boy.
Were his locks curlier than mine? Were they?
They were so golden.
No, it's all I have.
Okay, fine.
In fact, the days had slipped by all too fast for the happy youth. Then it suddenly happened one day while the water nymph was asleep that he thought of his mother. The little house which had been his home for 16 years and more. The fishing boat which was his pride and joy. The moonlight night when he had gaily kissed his mother's cheek and gone away never to return. He did not stop to waken the sleeping nymph.
Now that I think about it, a text will really allow me to communicate the exact words I want to say. And if I forget to text, she'll figure it out.
He said no word to the servants of the palace. He thought only of the fish with the cushion of sea-green satin embroidered with rare pearls. Quick, he cried to it. Take me home as fast as you can. My mother's heart is breaking. She has shed so many tears for me, I know, that by this time she may be entirely blind.
No, I don't think that's... by the time I get back, she may be 98% salt.
It's like the...
Just a big sack of rock salt.
It's that salt creature from Star Trek. That's what she'll turn into.
Well, I've never seen Star Trek, Rob. I wouldn't know how to make a joke about that.
What's a gelatinous cube again, Alan? In another hour, Francisco was safe at home with his mother's arms about him. She had shed so many tears that her eyes were swollen almost shut, but they were not closed so completely that they could not shine with the great joy which once more filled her heart.
Oh, I can barely see you, but you almost look like my son who broke my heart, but I'm sure it couldn't be him because he never visits.
Promise me one thing, she said to him. Give me your word that you'll never go fishing again. I don't trust that water nymph, even in the daytime. She's too trampy for you.
Listen, just because she's got her filters out in the open.
Mom, I've met enough women with feet. I gotta try something new, okay? Accordingly, Francisco gave up being a fisherman and became a hunter.
And look, Mother, you get a whole new bunch of eyes to choose from. Oof. Well, okay, no, I'm actually not very good. These are blueberries.
To make his spears, he gathered the young sapling which grew up on the hillside, even down to the edge of the water. He had grown still handsomer while he had lived in the palace of Mother of Pearl in the depths of the sea. And there were twice as many pretty maidens who cast smiling glances in his direction. It was the daughter of the rich man of the village who at last won the heart of Francisco. When he went a wooing, however, he had no gift to take except the birds he had killed with his own hand.
Now, I know a dowry is not traditionally paid in pigeons, but please hear me out.
The rich man laughed at him. These were his words. When my daughter marries, it shall be only to a youth who can bring her rich gifts.
Dolce and Gabbana, Fendi, and then Donna.
Francisco went away with a sad heart and sat upon the rocks at the edge of the sea, gazing out over the water with eyes so full of tears that they saw nothing. The water nymph was not far away from the shore those days. She was always seeking for a glimpse of the golden head which she had so often crowned with flowers. Her joy now at the sight of him was buried by her sorrow when she saw that his heart was full of woe. She knew at once the cause of his grief.
He probably misses his fish horse.
The next morning, when Francisco went to get wood to make a new spear, he found a necklace of priceless pearls lying on the shore. It was the gift of the water nymph. But since his heart had been touched by his mother's tears, he had entirely forgotten her. He took the gift to the maid he loved, with never thought of the giver. The end.
Short and sweet and salty. Definitely salty.
Little gamey. Little, not salt, not gamey as much as, what is that? What is that in the back of my throat?
It's some kind of flotsam.
Yeah. Yeah. A little foamy.
I mean, maybe some jetsam too. I'm not sure.
Yeah. A little bit of both. A little bit of both. Either way, it's not good. It's not a good taste.
No. You don't want to cook with the wise men of the sea.
No, you don't. And Alan, what would you say is the moral of this particular story?
Oh, simple, Rob. There are two kinds of nymphs, and you got to check their feet. Okay?
You want the one with the feet, right? Hold on.
Listen, man, if you don't know the answer to that, I don't know how to help you. I kind of wonder if you have a moral to take away from this story.
Well, I think I do, Alan. It's once you go fish, you'll always relish her love. A beautiful, poignant thought for a beautiful story.
Hey, there's nothing more beautiful and poignant than when you point out that it's beautiful and poignant.
That's what I think, too. Everyone tells me it's not classy, but look, I'm pointing it out. I calls it like I sees it, Alan. All right?
Okay.
Oh, all right. Well, good. Good. I'm glad we settled that. I'm the classy one. That about wraps it up for this week's episode. I hope all of you will still listen in, particularly in the Jacksonville and greater Jacksonville area.
I mean, you insulted them the whole time.
No, they're great people. Great, great people. Okay, they make the best chicken fingers.
Well, that's not seem like a regional thing.
No, but they're still good. I don't know. So please, tune in next week for another exciting Interrupted.
Unfridled. Hold on, I gotta hold on. I'm gonna get a list of famous horses. Hold on. Bucephalopod.
No.
Seattle Soul.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Zendaya is not a horse.
No, Zendaya is that girl from Spider-Man Homecoming, I thought.
The Overwatch character is Zendaya. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I don't know, Google. Come on, get it together.
Tail.
Oh, Zenyatta is a horse. So, whoops.
Thinking about asking our listeners, popping them the big question.
Okay.
It's not an easy one. I think now is the time for us to both get on our knees and look deep, deep into our listeners' ears and
what?
And ask them sincerely and with conviction, will you rate and review us on iTunes?
Okay, we're on our knees. Where are their ears?
They're going to have to bend down too. Everyone, get on your knees.
Okay, wait a minute. I don't think we want to ask our listeners to do that. You know what I think we do want to ask them to do?
What?
Is to please go to iTunes, rate and review the podcast. If you like what we do, help us out. It's free for you. It's a great thing for us. Rob, can you say anything else without making inappropriate requests from our audience?
You can rate and review us on any of the other services too. Google Play, they're awesome. Whether you do it on your knees or not, I leave it up to you. That's your business. Thank you, folks. We appreciate it.